Just a loving on that ass. And that night she sent me out with warm blankets for his back. He became a member of our family over that next week. And when party time finally arrived, everyone could see that $100 donkey's still a donkey after all. If you bring him to your party, kids are gonna have a ball. He might kick you in the trailer, he may bite you in the stall, but $100 donkey's still a donkey after all. Kids and seven soccer moms all got to ride old Carl. Oh yeah, that's what we named him, after my half-great uncle, Carl. It was a day so legendary in our safe suburban town. But when the kids all left the party, I wondered, now what do I do now? So I put him back on Craigslist with $100 prize. 9 days later, it pulled a trailer, much to my surprise. A $100 donkey, still a donkey after all. If you bring him to your party, kids are gonna have a ball. He might kick you in the trailer, he may bite you in the stall, but $100 donkey, still a donkey.
Hi guys, Judy here. I'm so happy I get to host. Welcome Jerry and Chat and Michelle and Carol and Rosemary. I'm feeling like $100 donkey, and that's a good thing. I'm feeling so worth $100 right now. I'm telling you, I am. I feel good. So God bless everybody. Call in if you have anything to share. It's just amazing. I don't know what to say. I'm so busy in my day-to-day, but it's the forefront of my mind in the midst of my activities with kids and everything, is that I'm not going to be here. So anyway, it's very exciting. You news hounds that have been able to keep up on everything, please fill us in. Because I haven't today. This is the first time I'm actually able to sit down. I have not sat down all day. This is it. I've not been able to sit down all day. So now I'm just now looking at headlines. And by the way, thank you, Jesus, for giving us this church. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being such a wonderful groom. Thank you that you're coming any day now, any second now, any hour now. Thank you that you are letting us see the birth pains, and they are crazy, and we love you. And as we, your church, worship you in your church, let your will be done in this service, Lord. Your will be done. Direct us and lead us where you want us to go always in our conversations, in our laughter, in our expressions, whatever they may be. We love you. We thank you that we are fully loved by you, too. That's why we're able to love you. I'm only able to love you because I am fully loved by you. I feel your great love over me and blissful joy over me. And so then I just give it back on to you and everybody else I can, because you really are too good to be true, Jesus. What you did on that cross, it was a scandal. It's scandalous. Your love for us is scandalous. It's not dependent on anything we do. It's the scandal of the cross. Thank you so much that you got me in a position to receive that at such a young age. And thank you that you're taking me before I reach a ripe old age. You found me at 16 and a half in my bedroom, and you're taking me at 46. Now, if I reach 47 February 28th of 2016, that's okay. I know you're coming. I know you're coming. But I have a hunker in our dad's coming, guys. Yeah, Jerry knows you're hosting tomorrow, Michelle. Thank you so much, everyone that can host, because Jerry has a lot going on, and we all do, but it's so wonderful. It's such an honor to be able to host. I'll go for the full 2 hours, but after everyone gets on the line, then I have to mute it because I have to run to Walmart and return this airbed that popped, and I have to pick up my sister, and I have, I don't know, you know what, I just have a list of things to do. But I already got a lot done today. I'm hoping tomorrow I can rest more because I just have a full week in front of me if we're here. And then I get all of the following week off. So that's cool. But until then, it's crazy. My schedule's really crazy. But we have some high watch dates on the 17th, Tuesday. All now and all next week look like really amazing. All this month, I mean, it's amazing. Jerry feels like a $50 donkey. Well, Jerry, I'll have to throw you another 50, and then you can be a $100 donkey, okay? Because 50 plus 50 is 100, and I'm a jackass, and I know that. Okay, so if nobody wants to call in and share, like I said, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you, Jesus is coming for us. Like I said, I'm just now looking at headlines as I'm the first time I'm sitting down today. And that's exciting. So Jesus, your will be done. I'm happy to just throw on worship and just worship him. If we want to fellowship with words, that's great too, guys. I'll be in and out of chat because I'm making dinner in a second as I host. And I just love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you so much. And thank you so much. You know what? I want to take a moment right now to thank you for what you're allowing. And, you know, your will be done, Father. Your will be done. And, Father, we don't like being here to see all this destruction. But, Lord, we ask right now that your holy, beautiful spirit of mighty Jehovah God would just be received by these people that have, people have lost their children. They have, a lot is going on in Paris. And it's very sad, if indeed it happened, which I think it really did happen, even though I think it was planned. And it looks like it's just really sad. So, Father, in Jesus' name, will you comfort people? I know you will. You desire to do that. You are doing it. Do they recognize it's you? Will they receive you? So, Father, I pray you would maximize this horrible event that occurred in Paris with your glory. Just get as much glory out of it as you can. Let people turn to you. Let people fall to you. Let them not shake their fist and be mad at you, but may they come to you. You know, a lot of times in order for people to come to Jesus, they have to have sorrow. I did at 16 and a half. So sorrow can be a good thing. Okay. Good comes out of bad. And I think that we're going to start to see the good that has come out of this bad thing. And we just lift up all the families. We lift up everybody that was affected by this horrible tragedy in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you're covering. And we thank you that our prayers availeth much. And you are loving these people, and you are hearing our prayers. $100 donkey is saying a prayer, and I know you heard it. I prayed it from the minute I saw it. It's nice to pray out loud with my family here. And we love you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you that your hand's on it. If a terrorist attack happened right here in my neighborhood, I would probably go run to the. Everyone else is running away. I'd probably go run to it. Oh, let me find the criminal. I'll find him. I'll go running toward it with my donkey mask on. I look forward to getting out of here. And if it has to be death, so be it. But I know my fate is the rapture. I'm excited about that. But I also, at the same time, value life that he has given us. And I take great comfort in knowing that nobody can be taken from this world unless the Lord allows it. So even though that horrible thing happened in Paris, you don't think God's hand is in that? Him and the devil work hand side by side. The devil petitions him and he says, okay, do it. So, you know, God's not evil or shady. I mean, evil, but he is shady, okay? We'll understand that in a blink of an eye, how it all makes sense, because it seems like it doesn't make perfect sense in our minds why he would be working with the devil. But the devil had permission to do what he did, and God allowed it, okay? And we just have to accept that and know that God works all things together for good. And I can honestly tell you that anytime horrible things have happened in my life, every single time good has come from it. Every time. Every time. So I thank you, Jesus, for all the good that's going to come out of this horrific ordeal in Paris that you allowed to happen. You allowed it. You said, okay, Satan, go ahead, do your thing. And so we give you glory in your church, Lord, because blessed be the name of the Lord who was and is to come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not our will. Of course, we don't want to see any destruction. Okay, that's my will, but your will be done, not my will. I want to see peace until you come and get us, but, you know, your will be done, not my will. Your will be done, Father, and we thank you. Jesus was so good. I just love him. He's cuddly, too. He's my sweetheart. He's my sweetheart. He's my everything. I just love him so much. He's my friend. He tolerates me. I tolerate him, too. And he's going to come get me before Thanksgiving, or he's going to be called a turkey. And I will call him a turkey, and I'll throw a pumpkin pie in his face. But, you know what? I can talk like this because I'm really good friends with Jesus, okay? So if anyone's offended, no one here is offended, of course. I'm just saying, like, people that aren't real good friends, they can't do like that. But I can do like that with my Jesus because he's my friend. He's my buddy, and he's my holy King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's also my best buddy, and he's my boo. That's what he said. Who do you say that I am? I'm like, no, who do you say that I am? And I'm like, Jesus? I answered like Peter did. He's like, who do you say I am? And I'm like, he goes, I am boo. I am boo. Boo, boo. Oh, my gosh, I'll never forget that. And you know what? He has a sense of humor. He's fun. And if your faith allows you, you can see all parts of God. But see, some people, their faith, it doesn't go that far. And that's okay. It took me years for my faith to expand. So it's okay. But I would have thought that was unholy. I would have thought it was because I didn't have faith enough to chill with Jesus and be cool and just be like that. I did when I first got saved in my bedroom, okay? But then I went to church a year and a half later and learned a bunch of religion, and then I got real weird. I thought I had to pray in tongues and do all this weird stuff. And I pray in tongues when I want to and when Jesus prompts me to, but I don't do any religious activities anymore. I just abide with him 24-7. I pray 24-7. I abide with Jesus 24-7. My life, my very breath, is a prayer. I know it sounds crazy, but I have embraced the oneness with my Savior. And so I'm no longer alive. I'm dead. And he who lives in me is Christ. So it's no longer than I that live, but Christ in me. And the life I live is him. So, you know, I am letting him do all that he wants to do. And when he asks me to do something, I do it. Otherwise, I just chill. I enjoy my life, enjoy my dog, enjoy my cats, I enjoy my kid. We're having a great day here today. Of course, I don't want to be here. But, you know, while I'm here, at least I have great friends. I have a great church. I have a job that I can do. He's so nice. He really does. Next week, I have every day I'm working, but like one day I get off at 2, one day I get off at 12, one day I get off at, it's just nice because a lot of times I'm working till 3:15, but it's like, it's a cool week. And I'm like, I love you, Lord, for doing that for me. And so that's nice. And Jesus, let's just worship him. He's so good. You're so beautiful, Father. So beautiful. Thank you for providing for all of our needs. Your provision is beautiful. Your provision is beautiful. I lift up everybody at our church and I say thank you on their behalf for your provision, even before they see it. The Lord's telling me, tell them to thank me even before they see it. Yay, I got a word of knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, church, Jesus is telling us, me too, to start to thank him even before we see the provision, because he says, my church has many needs, but I'm going to meet them. Start thanking me ahead of time. All of you that are here, and if this message applies to you, you can receive it if you want. You don't have to. But I thank you, Jesus, for that word. I worship you. I receive that word. I thank you ahead of time for things that I don't see yet and I believe. And so thank you, Jesus. If anyone in our chat room or listening is feeling nervous about your provision, the Lord just gave me a word of knowledge. He told me to tell you to thank him right now, and your provision's coming, okay? He loves us. He loves us. How can you be a light in a shining world if you don't have what you need? See, he doesn't do that. He's so wonderful. And he doesn't just give us what we need. A lot of times he'll bring an abundance of overflow. And right now I'm living in the abundance of the overflow. And it may not be materially, but it was yesterday when I got paid, but it's almost all spent now on bills. but I'm living in the overflow of his presence, which I'll take any day over money. I mean, money, just whatever. But like, you know, but he also understands, how can you be happy if your refrigerator's empty and your pets don't have food? You know, he's a good daddy. So he understands that we have material needs, and he's going to meet those. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And they are. And that's the main thing. I just, as long as I've got my peace and my joy, I'm good. And then obviously I do need my needs met, but he meets them and he's good. He really does. He meets them. And when I don't see them coming, they end up being there. And so right now he's telling us to thank him. So Father, we thank you. I thank you ahead of time for every need you're going to meet today. We don't have to think too far into the future because we might not be here, guys. But the Lord just wanted us to know. He just interrupted everything and told me to tell everybody and tell myself to start to thank him. So let's just go ahead and thank him. Let's thank him for his provision. And I'm talking your needs. You can be self-centered and selfish. The groom is all about you. This day is all about you. Jesus gave you this day and made the sun shine just for you. It really is. You really are the center of his world. It's all about you. And you need to believe that, because you can't really grow in the fullness of all he has for you until you believe that you are absolutely the most important thing to him, and then receive that and believe that. It took me years to get that way, okay? Now I'm overboard. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'm so great. My poo doesn't stink. I'm awesome. Oh, yeah. But you know what? I'd rather live like that than I used to live. Always, you know, beating myself up. If nobody was beating me up, I was beating me up. And, you know, Jesus loves us. He loves us. He loves us. All of our needs he will meet. And all your wants, if he wants to, he'll fill them. And if he doesn't, you just thank him anyway. Because we have wants. People have wants while they're here. I know some people that are single want to be married, you know. Too bad. If he's going to marry you first, then you're going to have the perfect spouse, okay? whatever your needs are. I've been married twice, so I'm good with that. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm good. I just married Jesus. I ain't looking for anything. I'm happy with my pets. But marriage on this earth, it just didn't work out for me. I really had a good heart, though. I really wanted it to work, but it just didn't. That wasn't what God had for me, because he wanted to marry me, and that's okay. And people that have wonderful marriages, I'm so happy for them. I don't really know anybody, but I know of people that they tell me they have good ones, but I don't really personally know anyone that has a good marriage. But if you do, God bless your holy matrimony and your union. He is good. He might. He blessed Katie and Joe to get married, you know? Wow. I mean, he could do it. But I'm just saying, you know, we may not have everything we want, but we might. You never know. You never know what he's going to do before he gets here. He can do a lot. Okay, we're going to worship Daddy in a song. And then if anybody wants to call in and share, great. I'm just going to worship you. Oh, I just want to do a really good one where I can just totally get into it. Okay, I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to belt it out. I just love. Oh, I know what I want. I know. When I see it, I'll know it. Dance with me. Okay, here we go. We're going to thank him. I love you, Jesus. You're so wonderful. I love you. I love everyone you created. I love you, LGBTQPAAI people. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's coming for you. You are the sweetest bunch of folks because you're all about love, but you just got it mixed up. Jesus is coming for you. He's coming to get you, get your all confusion worked out. Get all your perversion worked out, okay? Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. I did not expect this, people, but I figured, okay, I'm going to go make dinner, and I can't even get up. As soon as I played that song, he was just spoiling me with his presence. I see the chat room. Everybody's just loving on him, and And I just was overcome. I'm continuing to be overcome right now. You want to tell me what he said? He said something so cool. It's going to make you jealous. I'm going to share it. It's okay, because he said that my life is transparent. He said that's why I have a glass mansion, because I've been transparent on this earth, and that's my reward. Even though I'm not thrilled about, I'm going to put up curtains, okay? But I think it's cool that he told me that. But anyway, so when I was sitting here, he told me, he said, you are my sweet fragrance to this world. And everywhere you go, it's like perfume is being all over that area. He said, like, it's like spraying a bottle of really nice perfume everywhere you go. He told me that. I was, like, worshiping him. I was so happy. I'm like, I love you. Because when he gets me like this with his presence, I feel all mushy and happy. And then he started telling me all these beautiful things about me. Oh, isn't that awesome? I'm so great, huh, Lord? No, but he told me I was this perfume and I was his aroma. And it just made me smile because I like making my dad happy, you know? I'm glad that he's pleased. And this isn't bragging. This isn't bragging. I'm just sharing my intimate moments. And the Lord said to do it because I'm, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable doing it. I have to say it sounds kind of braggy, but that's not my heart. But he wanted me to do it. And maybe it's just because it'll encourage you if you haven't gone there yet. I encourage you to become stuck up in the Lord. Know that your poop doesn't stink, man. Just know how great you are. And I receive it. Believe me, there was a day where I'd say, oh, no, I'm not that, I don't smell that good. Forgive me for what I did an hour ago, you know. I just said, thank you, Lord, I believe you. I do believe I'm your sweet aroma on this earth. That's what he said. And everywhere you go, you reflect me. And he was just going on and on, okay? He said more, but I'm just giving you like the skinny. He's just telling me how great I am. And then he did say something else, okay? He said, he started to get a tear in his eye, and he said, oh, when I remove you. And so it's not just me. I just got chills when I said it. But that, it's the whole bipolar thing. Yay, I got a beautiful word. And then he told me, you know, and then it was like, oh, when I remove you. I saw him get sad for the world when he removes me and you and all the bride. He's going to be, he got sad, but he's not too sad because on the fourth day, we're coming back and we're going to help him reap the greatest harvest the world has ever seen, okay? But he did let me say, he said, oh, whoa, when I remove you. And he was sad, but he knows he has to do it and he's going to do it, okay, guys? He's going to do it, but he was just letting me see that part of it. So I got to share in his joy over me, and then I got to also see his sorrow when he has to remove me. I'm telling you, I'm the reason why California hasn't sunk into the ocean, folks. I'm the reason why sunny California is doing good. And so are you. You're holding the fort for the Lord. Your aroma, you carry him. You carry his glory if you love him. And you may not even be aware of it. And if you're not, ask him to be aware. Believe me, it's amazing. I feel lit up right now. I don't always feel lit up, but oftentimes I do. I'd say like 60 to 70% of the time I feel lit up. I'm not going to lie. But I know I'm lit up even when I don't feel it, because it's not based on feelings, but it's just neat to have the feelings when the Lord wants to do that. It's fun. And he's doing that extra strong right now. So thank you, Father. I love you so much. And, you know, your tears are going to be dried real quick when the bride who you love, who loves you, has volunteered to come back on the fourth day after the nukes. On the fourth day, just on time for the comet, and then the nukes on the fifth day. And so, you know, it's just going to be for a second where it's going to be hard, okay? And it's okay. And we love you, Jesus, and thank you that you have feelings too, and thank you that we can comfort you. Thank you. We comfort you as a church. I comfort you right now, Jesus. I choose to comfort you, and I know everybody else wants to too, because those of us who are left here in this small little church, I feel like we're of one heart and one mind, and I feel like everyone's comforting you right now. Even in this moment, we're just comforting our Savior, our King. Can you believe it that our king humbles himself so that we can minister to him. Have you ever met a God like that? A king that would do that? No, they're supposed to be everything. No, he humbles himself and lets us encourage him. He's our great example. That's why I can't ever be too high and mighty and haughty, because, you know, even though I know I'm all that and a cup of tea, I can't, because of my example of my king. I know I'm all that great. And then he says, now humble yourself and wash their feet. See, we just reflect our king. We just act like him. So he's letting us comfort him right now. He's letting us encourage him. Jesus, we encourage you. We thank you that you can do this. We also encourage you that don't worry. More will be saved than will be lost. And we're sorry for what's about to occur and what even is occurring now. And we thank you, Father, that we make you pleased. And we encourage you and for you and sit with you in the garden. Could they not even just tarry 1 hour? This is harder for me than the cross. And yes, your bride will tarry with you way more than an hour. We know this is harder than the cross. We know. And when we're with you, and we are on your side, and we've proven it. So I've proven it, you little jerk. All right? I'm just kidding, Lord. He knows I'm joking when I call him a jerk. But I have proven it, okay? So I'm speaking confidently. I am still here. And if any of this was fake and it wasn't real, I wouldn't still be here, you know? But, you know, I got to be the mom of a prophet. I'm excited, okay? Oh, it was all Guns and Roses in the beginning until he didn't come 2 years later. And I stuck through the hard times. I stuck through it. And I'm back on my mountaintop because I know he's coming. And then he gave me my Russian thing. So I already know we're going up. That's why we're here today. The Russian troops haven't arrived. I know that. I'm never sad, except I'm very excited about this coming week because of all the flirts we got personally with Marianne and Jerry and then just all the stuff. I'm just freaking out. I'm like, Russia, hurry up and get your damn troops there. I want to go home. But anyway, guys, I didn't mean this to be a jackass rambling session, but Jesus, that's not a ramble. You love me. So God bless you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you, Jerry and Mama Pat.
Hi, Annie.
I love it.
Love you too. Oh, that's so sweet.
I got hammered unexpectedly. I did not. Oh, I was great, like, I'm going to go make dinner. Great. I'm going to mute the phone and blah, blah. And then boom.
Hey.
He's like, I feel like I'm in a hot tub. I'm in the hot tub of his glory.
Because yeah. I've never spoken to perfume before. So.
Oh. Are you Coco Chanel?
My name is Aroma. My new name is Aroma.
Aroma.
You can call me Aroma.
Well, I could have called you that as a donkey.
Okay. You know what's so cool when he gave me that word? I know, right? That's true, Jerry. Lord, forgive Jerry. He knows not who he talks to. Don't let a comment fall on him. Don't let a comet fall on him, Lord.
Okay.
Flower. Flower and flower.
Flower.
No, okay, so when he gave me that word about me being his perfume, so he gave me a picture. And today I was at the park twice with people, and he told me I was spreading his aroma when I was at the park. So that's what he specifically, because I guess I didn't spread his aroma when I was at Grocery Outlet because I was trying to get out of there too quickly. But when I was at the park, I'm all relaxed with my dog, and I'm talking to people with their dogs and sharing his joy. And yeah, so Lord, I bet Jerry stinks. You need to poof him up right now. I was playing Jerry. Jerry smells like a real jackass. Jerry smells like a real jackass.
Gotta have the robe.
Oh yeah.
Put the robe on.
We need put that robe on. Put that robe on, Jerry.
Okay. Well,
that was funny though. I appreciated that joke. I really did, and so did Jesus. See, he's all about laughter. I'm telling you, we're going to be goofballs at the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's going to be funny. Jesus is probably going to burp and fart just to make us laugh. I don't know. I mean, because I plan on eating a lot, okay? I plan on eating a lot when I get up there.
Especially Swedish meatballs.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, Pat. Swedish meatballs.
Fight over them.
and real. Like, in order to make a real Swedish meatball, I learned this when I went to Sweden, it has to have ground pork. You have to. You cannot leave that out. You have to use good ground beef, but it's half pork and half beef.
And half
Yeah, and you have to have that ground pork, and then you have the perfect Swedish meatball. And, of course, I'm a person that doesn't really like to eat pig, but when I was in Sweden, it was like, no, that's how you make them. It has to be half and half. So when I came home, as much as I hated to buy ground pork, I got the natural, no antibiotic. I tried to get the natural pork, but I mean, that's how I make them, because if you really want a real Swedish meatball, you have to have that. And so in heaven, we can have all that, and we don't have to worry. We're not going to get parasites, you know, no parasites. I mean, you know, we're probably, we are parasites. We're parasitic. You know why? We're going to be parasitic because we're going to be mutually beneficial to one another. So we'll be all over each other, and so we'll be like parasites on the earth in heaven to each other. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You really will, because we're going to just be all over each other, doing God's will and full of love.
Sure.
That's going to be great, you guys. You know what? People hold back because of all kinds of weird, stupid things. I hold back too, but in heaven, we don't have to hold back. We can be who we really were, who we were created to be. And believe me, I hold back because I don't want to, but like sometimes I have so much love busting through me. I just want to pick up people in the store and just love on them. I do. I get that really strong in me. I just want to come up from behind somebody and go, God loves you. And just throw it on. That would be weird. I'd probably, so, but in heaven we can just, It'll be great. But I try to tone it down. I'll be like, I just smile and real big. Hey, the checkout at the guy today said, you have a great smile. Thanks. Aww. That was really nice. Yeah, it was really cute. Because I did. I gave him, I didn't get to jump over the counter and jump on him, but I got to give him a good Jesus smile today.
Aww.
At Safeway. Because, see, I wasn't in a rush at Safeway. I was in a rush at Grocery Outlet. But by the time I got to Safeway, I was good. I just needed to get my mac and cheese, the brand my son likes. And it was all good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you guys, Jerry called in. Okay, Jerry's going to talk. I'm muting myself. I love you.
Okay, love you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, wait, let me let Michelle on. Hold on. No, I'm not leaving. Mama Pat, Jerry, Jerry Berry, and Michelle. And I'm actually really not leaving at all. I'm totally hammered, so I can't do anything anyway. But I've been talking a lot, so I'm going to mute myself, and I will engage. I will engage. But
okay.
I just
can't,
I can't.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Michi.
Hi, Michelle.
We love you,
Michelle.
All.
Mm-hmm.
Love you,
I like
Jesus.
It, Michelle.
Yay.
I'm going to read what Michelle said in chat because it's so cute. It's so her, too, because I pictured her because she sent me a picture. She was a kitty cat for Halloween, and I could picture her in chat. Michelle's, like, cute, okay? And so she's like, to my sweet groom, Jesus. And when she was saying that in chat, I pictured her with her cat outfit on, and it was making me laugh. And she's like, thank you for loving me, Jesus, despite my imperfections. I love you. Kisses for you, Jesus.
Oh,
I love that. It was just really cute. She's just a really cool person. And Michelle's our meteorologist who gives us the current. Hey, Michelle, I don't want to be a teacher in heaven. Do you want to be the meteorologist in heaven? I don't even want to be called a teacher. Want to be called. I just don't want anything to do with teaching, okay? I just don't
want
to be around. I honestly don't want to be around a bunch of high schoolers. I just don't. I'm done. That was my earth thing. Jesus, get me as far away from high schoolers and teaching as possible, okay? I know that's horrible, right?
No.
And my sister said the same thing about nursing. She's like, oh, no, I don't want to do anything with nursing. Oh, my gosh. I'm only doing this for the money. I know, exactly.
Right.
And so much of what many of us have to do, it really is just for the money right now, because I'm so disgusted with what I'm seeing that literally would walk out if I didn't need the paycheck. And I am just disgusted. Like,
how dare me have to walk in there because I can't stand what I'm
just
seeing.
Love them.
You guys,
just love
it's
them.
Beyond. No, no, it's not even. It's not the kids. It's not even the kids,
yeah.
really.
Oh, it's not the kids.
It's the spirit of what's going on. It's disgusting.
Sure.
It's just manifesting through the kids, but it's also manifesting through the system. It's, but no, the kids fine, no problem. But you know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah.
It's the spirit. I don't like it. It's not cool. But you know what? God is good, and he's working in it and through it anyway. I just literally, I can honestly say I'm just doing it for the money. I've never said that. I was, before he fell on my son, I actually was one of those people that actually enjoyed what I did. I was like, oh, I feel lucky. I mean, and the thing is, I don't. I hate it. Every day I have to get up.
Well, that's understandable.
And you know what? It's okay because that's part of being rapture centric. Now, if you are, if you still love your job, I'm very happy for you. Okay, I'm glad. I don't. And I'm just being honest here. I can't wait to get the hell out of here. And I hate everything I'm seeing. And I feel like it's an insult to education. What's going on? And I went to college a lot of years to be an educator, and I am insulted. You think you can tell me that I have to do that? That's why I'm subbing. Because no way I would. You can. And I just. I know that a lot of teachers are keeping their mouth shut because they need the job, you know, that are working full time still. I mean, I just, it's disgusting, okay? It just makes you want to puke all over everything. Anyway, so that said, Jerry, I don't know. Do you want to, wait, first of all, okay, I know Pat will share when she wants because she's not shy, but Michelle is sometimes shy, and Michelle called in. So, Michelle, do you have anything to share before Jerry Berry goes to town?
I don't really have anything specific. I just wanted to call in and say hi and love you all.
Oh, I love you too, honey.
Yeah, love you
Thanks,
too.
Michelle. Love you
sure.
too.
Okay. You have to work?
No, I'm at home right now.
Oh, you're home. Okay, honey.
She's chilling.
Good. That's me, too, except for right now I just had a couple things. It's a short trip to town. It's not a big trip to town. Just got a couple things. And one of them I'm not even sure I should go into because I just love the spirit and we've got going here. I don't know if I want to get into some of this stuff.
It's up
Maybe
to you. Just pray about
another day. But, I think I'll save it for another day. Let's just say I had a little insight about maybe – let's put it this way. Steve Dinoon did a video today about why France was attacked. And I had a little more insight about that, but I don't really want to get into that today. It's just, it's all over the news and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just throw out this nugget when the time occurs. What I have is Jason sent me an email today. And he had listened to the show, and he added a little more insight about Kareem's dream that I mentioned yesterday. Basically, reflections on the things that I mentioned yesterday. And I just thought I would share that. That was pretty much really all I had, at least all I know that I have. But let me just go into that. He says, great show last night, very powerful. Just wanted to say that Kareem's dream you referred to on the show, which was the first one I was in, did have a key that opened a door, and the key turned halfway. I thought I mentioned, I remembered that, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't say it. But the key in her dream turned halfway. It was actually a wooden key, from what I remember. And I understood immediately that this was representative of the cross at that time, and I didn't know we'd come right back to it all the way through Marianne's stuff. Also, the reference to the Jewish young man and things starting with a bang. Before I listened to the show, I was thinking about that dream Kareem had recently where she saw an explosion in the parking lot after she was dismissed. I was thinking that could be the explosion outside the football stadium in Paris. Okay, so the background on that detail is that Kareem apparently works for a large company, and they have been doing systematic layoffs, very systematically. And she really wanted to get it over with. She wanted to be dismissed. She really wanted it. And they were doing them in waves every 2 weeks. And finally, she got notice a couple weeks ahead of time. And then her last week, was the week of the 5th of November, that week. And she actually, I think Friday was the 6th, and she apparently decided to work 4 long days so that she could be done on the 5th, which is exactly what she did. She'd had a dream about a month before that or more that the day, maybe there were actually a series of dreams that had to do with her workplace, just being there. They weren't really about her workplace at all. They were about things happening relating to her workplace and her being dismissed. And she had at least 2 dreams along those lines. So anyway, part of her dream was that there was an explosion. She was dismissed, and then there was an explosion, and then that was the beginning of everything happening. You know, the end, all of the scenarios that the various, each of us have had in her particular case, it was the beginning of everything changing, and then her going on her pre-rapture mission for God. And so that's what this is about. And that was on the 5th or 6th of November. So it was last week. So the thing is, mentioning it with a bang, and then that boy who had a testimony from the first day of Tabernacles, the Blood Moon, that Jewish boy, also seemed to match that. When you watch the video, I know I saw at least one news link that had it on there. You could actually hear the bang during the soccer match. It was quite loud.
Yeah.
And so on. So anyway, that's what he's referring to there. And so Corrine also saw an explosion in the parking lot after she was dismissed. But basically, she's dismissed, then there's an explosion. And then he continues, I remember the last time Marianne went to see Annalisa. It was around August 14th, and she went to Austria. You and I were on the phone discussing her dream where she's at the White Hotel and sees the branch move and is prompted to get her daughters to safety. Now, what she saw was she was in the hotel room. This was a vision, you know, that was part of the dream. She's in this hotel room, and she's looking out, and there is a branch on a tree that is waving, as if it's waving at her. And, of course, the branch is representative of Jesus, and this connects right back to what Marianne was getting in the last few days with her dreams and experience. She understood that there was a reference to Jesus. So another reference to a branch, and of course the branch was relatively horizontal, although I don't know what it literally looked like in her dream, but it was, that was the impression I had when I saw her description of the dream. And sees the branch moving and is prompted to get her daughters to safety. She's then in a hallway and poofs. I remember you asking me when she is leaving, and my reply to you was, she is in the air as we speak, and we met traveling. Okay, so this is about her experience in August, but it's very striking here the way he relays this, because this is exactly what I recall, except he recalls it better than I do. But anyway, and he sees the branch move, and she sees the branch move. Okay, so what I'm saying here, this was, what he quoted here was the message in Marianne's dream before she went to Europe in August. And it is a message to get her daughters to safety. Now, what she received a few days ago was that she was supposed to tell her daughters, not just one, all of her daughters, the about her dreams and words that she's received. This will help prepare them for what's to come. And in particular, her daughter whom she's traveling with. And once again, there was a reference to disappearing in the hallway. So this is like almost the same dream or same set of messages, except the message that Jason's writing about here was a dream, or actually a series of dreams that Marianne had before she went to Europe. Now it's a word that she's received. So it's the same message, but delivered 2 different ways to Marianne as she's traveling. And Okay, so he continues, Tana's was at her family reunion at that time, and so we had the whole family reunion theme going on, and it was then that she texted you and said, it really is a white limo, as if she was listening to our conversation. And it was uncanny, just uncanny. You know, we had joked about it or whatever. Anyway, just spontaneously out of nowhere, Tana sends this text, and it fits. It's as if she's listening. The timing was perfect, as if she was listening to our conversation, which we presume she wasn't. So the thing is, it's just unreal. And anyway, so Tana really did ride in a white limo at her family reunion, which was part of her dream. And that's why she was mentioning that. She had had a dream about her family reunion and about being at her family reunion, and it involved a white limo. She didn't know what it was going to be, but she gets there, and it really was a white limo. And then so she sends this text spontaneously when she finds that out, because we talked about her dream, and it happened in exactly the moment that we were speaking about that it fit perfectly into our conversation. It was really strange. Anyway, and then just yesterday, he references what I said during the show yesterday, which was, I got an email about confirming an order, and the message was, confirm your order for the 17th for delivery on the 18th. And that day of the month changes every month, and sometimes, anyway, it's quite variable. That particular business is fairly variable about when they do their deliveries. So that's what Jason put in his email to me today, and it's just a nice little review of what we talked about yesterday. Everything's pointing to 17th or the 18th or so. Maybe the 19th, which is the 2-year anniversary of the Lord falling on Judy's son. So,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I had.
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry. That's very cool.
You're welcome. Yep.
Thank you so much. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I have that day marked on my calendar.
Yep. Yep.
Very special, special day.
Yes, it is.
The day that changed my life.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And a lot of other people.
Forever. Yeah, isn't that cool how he does that with little prophets that don't know what the hell they're doing?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what he does with this 15-year-old prophet, this little kid he calls in Israel.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know if he's even claiming to be a prophet. He's just a kid that died and saw stuff.
Yeah,
I don't even think.
I think that's it.
Know. But what I'm saying is, it's like, I pray for him. Because I have a feeling, okay, you guys, I know no one said this, but I think he knows it's Jesus. That's all I'm going to say. He said he doesn't know, but
mm-hmm.
I think he knows. That's just my personal thing.
He
wasn't allowed to say. I think Jesus told him, you're not allowed to say, because
yeah.
Minister to your people. You know, or something like that. I mean, I could be wrong. But I just feel like,
how would you
go all that way and Jesus wouldn't show you the scars in his hands? Everyone that goes
I
to
was
heaven.
Thinking, oh, you got it. I thought of that immediately.
You know?
Did you not show him your scars or tell him who you really were or read the
because
New Testament or something?
And didn't you see the way the kid reacted when they said, do you know who it is? And he was like, no. I mean, it was almost like overboard. Like Jesus said, you're not allowed. Jesus said, like, you're not allowed to tell them, you know, that it's me. They'll know.
Surprise, surprise.
So I don't know why, because the kid's young. It looks like he's holding a little secret, okay? But he's being respectful.
Yes, he is.
To his Jewish upbringing. Okay, you want more, baby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, being respectful to his Jewish upbringing. Oh, you want s'mores for dessert, Bob? Okay, and he's being respectful to what the Lord had told him to do. I'll tell you, but don't tell anyone. I'm not saying this happened. I'm acting like it is, but that's just my gut. I'm sorry. How could he not know?
Exactly.
How do you go there and you don't find out who he is? Come on. Jesus, exactly. Told him. Anybody was thinking along those lines? Anyone else?
Yes,
oh,
definitely.
Yeah,
first
definitely.
Thing I thought
remember
God,
how
that
he
makes
said,
sense.
Remember how he said in that video that he just knew things? Nobody had to teach him anything.
Yep.
He just knew. He just knew everything.
Knew everything.
Yep.
So,
I guarantee he's a messianic.
Jesus.
He's a messianic Jew now, people.
Yes.
He just can't tell them. He just can't tell them because Jesus probably said, "Now this is your mission to go back. You don't get to tell them, but you tell them to be good." Remember how he talked all about transgressions? You know, if you don't have a lot of transgressions. And so, since they're not going to receive Jesus and it made sense to me because I started pondering. I'm like, wait. So it's almost the opposite message of grace that he gave them. That he said to tell them. Remember, the kid told everybody, "Just do good. Read your Torah.
Be kind.
Don't have a lot of sin." And it's like they would accept a message like that. But if he said, "Oh, Jesus is the Messiah and his blood was enough," those people wouldn't have listened to him. Okay?
No.
So
they're
he's
orthodox.
Telling them what they need to do. Yeah, they're Orthodox Jews. They're not Messianic Jews. Messianic Jews believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But
no,
I guarantee
don't.
You that kid's got to be. You can't go there and not see the star. And everyone that goes there says they see the scars in his hands. They see the holes.
Right.
Everyone
even that
does.
Little kid.
Yeah.
Carlton.
Yeah. And but whatever, you know what? Maybe God unveiled, but I personally think the kid knows. I really think the kid knows.
Oh, of course he knows.
Oh, sorry.
How could he not go through all that and not know it was Jesus?
So
oh, come on.
It's my house.
Yeah, I was confused, too, when he started preaching about, it's
work.
Almost like he was preaching a works message. I was like, why is he doing that? But then.
But see, that made sense to me because they do have to keep good works because they're not letting the blood of Jesus be their work, you know?
Because they're under the law.
Yeah, they're under law, so they better behave. And so Jesus came to them on their level, okay?
Mm-hmm,
so that's
just,
that showed me how amazingly unreligious Jesus is. I mean, he's not even religious about his own cross, okay? He's not. I mean, if he was, he wouldn't have said that, right? So he went right where they were at, what they would understand.
Yeah.
And he went right up in there and did that. And that, to me, that makes sense. Because they could receive that message, but they would have never received any other message. They would have just wrote him off, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so he delivered, because there is virtue in being good. There is virtue in that. So if you're not going to let Jesus cover your sins, then you better behave, you know. And that's basically what he was saying. Tell them, you know, he said to tell them, don't have any transgressions. So, you know, that's the thing. And Jesus is being so merciful that he let the kid know that I'll save the people. Remember how he told the kid? I'll save the people. They won't see this. Did you guys, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He said, when the war comes, the people that will be spared are those that who don't have great transgressions. You guys remember hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay. So those people are going to be spared death, but other people aren't. And he made that kid made it really clear. Go and listen to it again. It's pretty intense. And so what Jesus is doing is he's giving them grace for what they believe. Okay? And there is virtue in being a good person. And Jesus said when you give someone a cup of cold water, you're feeding me, you know?
Yeah.
So there is virtue in doing good works, okay? Now, we know it's filthy rags, but they don't know that, and they don't believe that. So they better the hell do some good works if they want to miss out on this war. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Jesus is like, so the only way they're going to get spared from this horrible war where millions are going to die in a few days is to be good. Be good little Jews.
Kind.
Person.
Let me point out what you're saying is exactly right, Judy, but also he was really speaking in the context of what to do before the war breaks out in Israel. It was a message very specifically to the Jews, and the message was do good works before the Messiah comes. And remember that at some point they recognize Messiah and turn to him. But until they do, they have to stay in the law in which they're placed under. That's how they're living. So he was really delivering a message about what to do between now and when the war starts so that you have a chance to be protected and safe.
Huh. Yeah.
That's what he was really saying.
He's very merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
First,
that's
we also
good. Did I get it wrong then?
What, Michelle?
Of course, we also know that anyone under the law, no matter how many good works you do, you still can't be saved. So,
absolutely.
Because just one sin is enough to break the law.
Right.
But he was talking to them in their Jewish context and just saying, look, you know,
exactly.
to have a chance to be physically protected in the war.
Right, it's about happening. Yes.
Yeah.
See, because they're not receiving the works of Jesus at the cross, so Jesus is giving them a way out, and they're giving him a warning through this little 15-year-old, because he's saying, if your transgressions aren't great, you'll be spared. Remember how he said it, Jerry, over and over?
Yep, he did.
He said, if your transgressions aren't great, you'll be spared during this horrible war that's coming, okay?
2 million dead.
Is that right, Jerry? Did I hear it right?
Yeah,
the interpretation.
Yeah. He was. The thing was,
he said it over and over again. Go listen to how many times he tells everyone.
Yeah, about transgressions.
Now it's the opposite message of grace that we know, but we're not in that context. Jesus is coming to them in their language. Okay, so it makes perfect sense that he would say that. He's not nullifying what he did on the cross.
Oh,
but for people who aren't ready to receive it yet. He has to give that kind of a message. It, to me, it's brilliant. I'm just like, wow. And it just shows you, again, how non-religious Jesus is. You know? Even about what he did. And now, the thing is, now, these people, now don't get me wrong, you don't get to go to heaven. There's only one way. Okay? But the thing is, once they see the light, they are going to believe. Okay? They just don't believe yet. So I'm trying to say, like, this is when they do, they will, and Jesus already took that into account. That's why he's receiving their good works. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, how amazing that you would fall on a 15-year-old and sort of download all this. And I, like Jerry said, I don't even think the kid knew the magnitude of what he was been told.
Oh,
he doesn't even know how scriptural so much of it is.
No.
And how non-religious a lot of it is. I mean, that's Jesus meeting you right where you're at, Jewish people, you know?
Yes. Out of the mouth.
Yeah, I know. You don't think I'm... Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, and remember, if they're saved physically from the war, then they will see him and have a chance to acknowledge him as Messiah.
Yeah,
but, the other thing I want to mention is, remember, he did emphasize that it wasn't about being religious. And think about what good works are. They're a reflection of the heart. We've talked often and all the time about God wants your heart right, and that's even an Old Testament teaching. He doesn't desire sacrifice. He desires mercy. And,
contrite heart.
And a contrite heart. And so those good works are a reflection of a good heart, and hopefully one that's turned towards God, but it's a compassionate heart. And so that was a Jewish way to describe that.
Kindness,
word,
yes.
Jewish way of describing that.
He used the word kindness a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Very merciful.
You're right. He did.
He met them where they're at, and he's showing his mercy.
Yep. And he's given them a warning. How sweet of him. They've rejected him over and over, and yet he comes through a little boy and gives them a warning about what's about to happen and how they need to behave, basically. If you know, you better be damn righteous and holy since you're not taking on my blood yet. But when you see me, you will. Like Jerry said, when you see me, you will. Okay? They just don't believe it yet. And
Jesus is taking
that into account.
What is this rock?
That's why he's allowing their good works to be worth something right now. Because he knows that when they see him, they will receive him.
What's this rock that's going to split or something?
Huh?
There's a rock that's going to split, and Jesus is appearing over the rock?
It's a mountain.
Mountain. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mount of Olives.
Okay.
Mount of Olives.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's all about to happen. He said it's imminent, unless another jackass was born. I mean, it's going to happen. I was like, Lord, please don't let him be a jackass.
If you listen to that video, and I only saw, apparently there's a two-hour version. I haven't run across that yet, but
yeah,
apparently there's a 38-minute. Anyway, if you listen to 38-minute, you can hear lots of people. And one of the reasons it was a little bit, people started just spontaneously asking questions, and some of them were quite clearly asking him questions where they could disprove him readily and quickly. They were trying to say, they asked him a lot of hard questions because he was talking about stuff so imminently. They were jumping on that, a few of them. Said, oh, well, we only have to wait. We only have to wait for a few days, and then we'll know if this is right or wrong. You know, and basically they're looking for it to be proven wrong. Now, it's okay to ask questions and be skeptical, but it was interesting that in that setting they were so some of them went so quickly to that kind of.
I noticed that too, and I also noticed that the kids quickly corrected them and said, "This isn't a joke." When people started laughing. He got I noticed that. I was like, you go, kid. Because he had to laugh. He's an awkward 15-year-old,
yeah.
So you got to laugh at yourself.
Right.
But he said, no, none of this is a joke, okay? I'm like, he said, it's very serious. I don't know if you guys caught that, but he didn't let joking go too far. And I was like, oh, I know that was the Lord, because that was a real experience, because he didn't do any of that for attention. He was shaken up. He's like, no, this isn't a joke. Remember, did you guys hear him? He goes, this isn't a joke.
If you watched the laughing, how he was cradling that piece of wood or something, you could tell he was nervous.
Uh-huh.
Or he was upset.
Yeah, that's like a music stand on a piano or something.
Whatever
but
that
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
And
the laughing made him a little uncomfortable. At one point, it was nice and casual, but then it got to where it was too much joking, and
he
put a stop to it, that kid. Mm-hmm. That kid put a stop to it, because he's like, this is not a joke. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard,
but
this isn't a joke.
Guys, think how shocking it was for that audience to hear him.
I know.
Yeah,
I
sent you the two-hour version. I sent it to you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can you resend it to me, because I didn't get it. Jerry didn't get it.
Yes, I will. I'll look for it.
Yeah, I
sent it to.
I saw the article, but I didn't see the two-hour version.
Oh, I think I'm pretty sure it was the two-hour version, because James sent it to me. Ha! Huh. I'll have to take a look and see.
Okay.
I gotta search for it. Okay. No, he said he sent me the two-hour thing.
Let me just for a moment mention this Paris thing. The boy, because it's in our context, one of the things he said was about it will start with a bang. And I said yesterday that it was my impression that the first event to occur was, in fact, the explosion at this stadium where the soccer match was going on. And I hadn't seen anything to contradict
that.
But just a few minutes ago while we were speaking, I saw a headline here. And this is a story about the timeline of events. And this is the headline. 100 minutes that stunned the world. From the moment the first bomber blew himself up to the horrific slaughter at a concert hall, a full account of how the carnage of Paris massacre unfolded. Okay, so this is a confirmation that, in fact, yes, the bomb, that bomb that was heard on the television broadcast of that soccer match in Paris, which I think is called Stadium of France or something, where the French president was in fact the first of the string of events that happened yesterday. So yes, that bang was the first thing that happened.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I wonder if that's the bang that he was talking about in the video.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Well, it seems like it, and that's why I mentioned it. I guess we just have to wait and see. But it seems seems like it, and especially, and it also seems like it's certainly a possible fulfillment of of Corrine's experience. She, well, it was day to day. Here, listen to this. Her scheduled day of departure from her job was the 6th of November. Exactly 1 week later, on Friday the 13th, no less, this explosion. It's exactly a week.
Oh, my gosh.
What, seven days?
Wow.
7 days.
Amazing. Wow.
We're in the mix, people. It's,
wow.
There's a lot going on right now. A lot of clues for us. I mean, we're receiving a lot of things. And I certainly believe that that boy's testimony was genuine.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It was quite amazing that he said that the war began on September 11th of this year.
I love that part.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
That's when I got chills when I was watching it. That's when I started weeping.
Wow. Remember, I mentioned this a while ago, but September 11th this year was the 14th anniversary, and that's hugely biblical. Remember, Joseph had the dream, the seven fat years, the seven lean years. Okay, it was a 14-year period. Jacob worked, in effect, for 14 years for his chosen bride, Rachel. Okay, in the middle, he got Leah at 7 years, but he was really working all along to get Rachel, and it took him 14 years.
Right.
So 14 is a very biblical number. It's some of the most important events in Scripture in the Hebrew nation. So 9/11 this year was the 14th anniversary of 2001. And this is God turning it back around. And there were, by the way, seven fat years. And there have subsequently been seven lean years in the economy.
Wow.
And now it's time to square the books.
Yeah.
God's way. Yahweh.
Mm. Okay, let me see. I sent you the article. All right, it wasn't the, I thought it was the video. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Oh, I think Judy just said her phone battery died.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I think it was the article. I'm looking at it now.
She's in. Oh, strange. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
you could research it and get the longer one. Just go on Google it.
Yeah. Okay, so Judy's battery died.
Oh.
Well. Okay.
Plug it in. I plug mine right in, and then I can talk some more. It just carries.
Yeah, I don't know. She.
Let me see. Here it
is.
Here. All right. No. Okay.
She might pop up. Oh. Question was.
Oh.
I haven't gotten any.
Oh, it has.
I don't know whether.
Let me see something.
Well, we've got 9, 6, 8 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll wait a few minutes to see if she can get herself back on here. Also, oh gosh, I really don't want to talk about this. Okay, I think now I'm being told to go ahead and talk about this Paris thing a little bit more.
Go ahead.
The concert that was attacked involved an American band, and the name of the band was Eagles of Death Metal. Mm-hmm. Now, almost on principle, I probably wouldn't go to a concert where the band was named Eagles of Death Metal, okay? But, you know, in this weird world we live in, where almost everything seems to have a script, it's quite notable, in my opinion, that that was the name of the band. Because Eagle, while it has been noted as being symbolic of many things, including the United States, but one of the reasons the United States adopted it was because it was representative of Rome. And we know that this this one world order is a Romanesque endeavor. And I will just mention this one other thing I had today. I mentioned Stephen Danoon did a video today explaining why ISIS would have attacked France. And his explanation, I have something to add to it, but his explanation was quite straightforward. Recently, French aircraft had attacked one of the oil depots through which ISIS was transporting oil to the black market. Now, this has been a major way that they have funded a lot of their operations, if they needed to be funded. And but they certainly have dumped a ton of inexpensive oil on the black market. And this has coincided with the drop in oil prices worldwide. The thing is, we have discussed widely here how, but notice that it was the French that actually attacked this port where there's cheap flowing oil, or this pumping area that was controlled by ISIS. So Stephen Danoon's suggestion was that this was an ISIS attack on France because they had attacked that port, which is a port of oil, not necessarily I don't know whether it was near the ocean or not, but what I'm saying, it's a point of trade for petroleum. The thing is, and I think he's got that right. I was surprised when I heard that they had done that because, quite frankly, inexpensive oil is rare and quite valuable to Europe. And when we see the central banks seemingly bending over backwards to try to stimulate economic growth, they're not really. But that's another story. But what they're really stimulating is the price of stocks on the stock market. They're not really stimulating economic growth. The governments are suppressing economic growth intentionally. But that's another story. So the thing is, it was surprised me, but, you know, I just don't pay a lot of attention to the French, although I do pay attention to what they're involved in. But here's the thing. The French are sort of the opposite of the Swiss. The Swiss have been famous in the last century or more for taking no sides, at least officially. However, the French are, if not famous, certainly in the habit of playing both sides. They play both sides instead of not taking any sides. And of all of the nations that have had all of the Western European nations that have had a relatively close relationship with Russia, France is by far at the top of the list. And very many of their policy moves seem to be, they often seem to lean in the direction of Russia against Western Europe. So now I say, instead of thinking about only who attacked, which was the French, this ISIS thing, which prompted this attack, why was it France that attacked, and why did they attack that thing? Because any of the other Western forces, the British, the Americans, they certainly could have done it. Why was it the French, and why did they attack there? And for the answer to that, I would suggest we consider who benefited. Now, the Europeans have struggled with the price of oil. They tax themselves almost to death on it. But they do struggle with the price of oil and all energy. And one of the reasons they struggle is their primary source is Russia. A primary source of petroleum to Europe is Russia. Primary source, especially of natural gas in the winter, is Russia. We've discussed before how it's an annual event that there is some interruption in the supply to Europe that causes a price increase. And so what I'm saying here is the beneficiary of the interruption of that inexpensive crude oil that was being pumped by ISIS, the beneficiary of that military strike was in fact Russia, who is at the moment portrayed as the opponent to Western European interests, a.k.a. NATO, a.k.a. the United States, in this Syrian ISIS battle. So what I think we had happen here was France did a favor for Russia because they were allowed into the airspace that a Russian aircraft would have been challenged on. And I think for whatever reason behind the scenes, they and because of their relatively close relationship with Russia, I think they chose to attack that target because the Russians were hesitating to do it themselves. But then again, if you get the French to do it, why not? So I think this was one of these duplicitous sorts of maneuvers that the French are famous for internationally. And I believe they were doing the bidding of Russia in this one strike. This opened them up